his pride. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word, which is truly a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Thank you especially for this portion that Heather has just read. As we come to look at this psalm more closely, please help us to see our Saviour's love for us in and through what he has accomplished on the cross, and help us to live that out in ways that glorify you. We ask this in his name. Amen. Psalm 107 is the first in Book 5, the final book in the songbook of God's people. It is therefore fitting that it should be a psalm of thanksgiving for God's dealings with his people, the redeemed of the Lord, as we find in the first three verses. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands from east and west, from north and south. There are many shadows of the Christian gospel in this psalm, of those who cried out to the Lord, were brought out of their distress, and as a result gave thanks and praise to him who had saved them. What, however, is the cause of this distress? What is the cause of the trouble that the peoples found themselves in? The answer is at the beginning of the Bible. The root cause of all the problems of mankind is the activity of Satan, the destroyer, the one who is opposed to God's kingdom and the enemy of our souls. When he tempted Adam and Eve and they disobeyed God, sin entered the world. As Adam's descendants, we are born in sin and under the curse which resulted from the fall. This is why our greatest need is to be redeemed. It is why we sin and rebel against God, for which we are also responsible and need to repent. And it is why the good news of Jesus Christ is vital for every condition of man, as we see in Romans chapter 5, verses 17 and 19. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? For just as through the disobedience of the one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many will be made righteous. The mention of the word redeemed in the early verses of this psalm refers to the deliverance of God's people as a nation from bondage in Egypt. Pharaoh had refused to let them leave in order to worship God. So finally, God sent a destroying angel to kill the firstborn son of the Egyptian people. When this happened, Pharaoh did let the people of Israel leave. It is important to note here, however, that the firstborn of the Israelites did not die because of a special reason. Each household had killed and eaten a young lamb and spread the blood over the door frames of their houses. The people were said to be redeemed by the death and blood of that lamb as a substitute. The angel of death, seeing the blood of the lamb, passed over their homes. What happened to the people of Israel as a nation is a picture of what happens to us as individual people when we call upon God and trust in Jesus Christ. Our sins are forgiven because of his death on the cross as our Passover lamb. The redemption price is his own precious blood. In him we are set free to worship and serve our gracious God. Now we come to four gospel pictures in this psalm. It is not always clear what the actual situation was in terms of the history of Israel, but there is much food for our souls today as we reflect on the implications. Let's read the first one in verses 4 to 9. They wandered in the wilderness in a desert region. They did not find a way to an inhabited city. They were hungry and thirsty. their soul fainted within them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distresses. He led them also by a straight way to go to an inhabited city. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and his wonders to the sons of men. For he has satisfied the thirsty soul and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good. Here we find that the people were wandering in a wilderness, seemingly lost, because they could not find a way to an inhabited city. They were hungry and thirsty and in distress. We are told that their soul fainted within them. What was their response to this situation? They cried out to the Lord. And we see this pattern repeated three more times in the remainder of the psalm. How did the Lord answer their cry? He delivered them out of their distress and led them by a straight way to an inhabited city. Verses 8 and 9 then tell us about the call to respond to God. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. For he has satisfied the thirsty soul and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good. John's Gospel in the New Testament draws the connections with this to us today. We read in chapter 6, "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Our hunger and thirst is for forgiveness and righteousness, to have our sin problem dealt with. This is relieved when we feed on Jesus Christ by faith. He clothes us in the garments of his perfect sinlessness and becomes our Passover lamb. We worship and follow him and become members of his eternal kingdom. This is our inhabited city. So we come to the next gospel picture in verses 10 to 16, which reads as follows. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains, because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labour. They stumbled and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind, for he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Here we find the pattern repeated in that the people find themselves in distress. Once again, they cry out to the Lord who saves them out of their distress and are then called to worship him in thanksgiving for their deliverance. The difference here is that it is more obvious that their troubles are the result of their own wrongdoing. We are told that they rebelled against God and despised the plans of the Most High. This is reminiscent of the early chapters of Genesis, where Adam and Eve rebelled against God. They were deceived by Satan and so pursued their own agenda instead of being obedient to what God had said to them. This brought them into a condition of bondage. We are told that they were subjected to bitter labour. Once again, reminiscent of the curse where Adam and Eve had to leave the pleasant life of the Garden of Eden and work was going to be hard. We also see again that with the people in this psalm, when they cried out to the Lord, he delivered them by bringing them out of darkness and breaking away their chains. This could also be a reference to the nation of Israel coming out of bondage in Egypt and or Babylon. There are New Testament parallels here too, in relation to what Jesus was going to do for his people through the cross. In Luke 1:79, we hear that he would shine on those living in darkness. And in Luke 13:16, there is the woman whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years being set free by him. And of special note is Barabbas, the man in prison awaiting the death penalty, who was set free because Jesus went to the cross in his place. We too are set free from our bondage when we become united to Jesus in his death and resurrection by faith. We therefore no longer have sin as our master. Romans 6 tells us, our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. The third gospel picture is in verses 17 to 22 and speaks also about the consequences of rebellion, but this time it is about people who became fools. Let's read this passage again. The NIV has the following. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. The first part of verse 18 more literally reads, their soul abhorred all kinds of food. This helps us to gain a better appreciation for who these people were. They were those who had no interest in, or who had lost interest in, the things concerning their souls. No appetite for spiritual food. The result was that their ways were rebellious and they drew near to the gates of death. As the consequences of all this came in upon them, they did then cry out to the Lord, and he saved them from their distress. We are additionally told this time that God sent his word and healed them, rescuing them from the grave. Food for the soul is far more important than food for the body. When Jesus was tempted by Satan to tell the stones to become bread, he replies in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. The response of the people for this deliverance was again to be one of worship, but this time not just thanksgiving is mentioned, but also songs of joy. The final gospel picture comes to us as we read verses 23 to 32. Some went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep, for he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. It is worth noting again that in verse 26, a more literal translation is, their soul melted away. This helps us to appreciate what is in view here is not just of a physical nature, but also a condition of the soul. These people who were out at sea in a storm were gripped by fear. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Then we are told once again, as in the three previous situations, that then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper and guided them to their desired haven. And yet again, their response is to be one of thanksgiving and worship. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. In the New Testament, we have a parallel situation where it is Jesus who stills the storm in Luke chapter 8 as follows. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." There is also an interesting story in the book Pilgrim's Progress, which gives us insights into fear in the Christian life. Christian was walking along the road to heaven when he came to a narrow passage up ahead where there were two lions in the way. Now that he could see the danger, he understood why mistrust and timorous had turned back and ran. Christian was filled with fear and thought that death lay ahead of him. However, unlike mistrust and timorous, he proceeded ahead towards the lions, and whilst the lions roared, they were unable to harm him because they were held by chains. They were there for the purpose of testing his faith. The remainder of the psalm focuses on the sovereign activity of God in relation to his creation, including mankind. He turned rivers into desert. He turned the desert into pools of water. He blessed them and their numbers greatly increased. He caused contempt on nobles. He lifted the needy out of their affliction. The gospel overcomes our fears because we know that just as God is sovereign over all the circumstances of our lives, so too he is sovereign in our salvation. To put it another way, we can simply say that God is in control. We are reminded of this in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Consider also the Apostle Peter before and after the resurrection. He went from being afraid to die and denying three times that he knew Jesus to boldly proclaiming Jesus' resurrection in a sermon at Pentecost where 3,000 souls were added to the church. The psalm then ends with a note of instruction. Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. So what can we conclude as we heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord? We can conclude that the good news of Jesus is for every condition of man. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the central thing in human existence. Whether it is hunger, thirst and isolation, bondage, foolishness and rebellion, fear, or any other situation, Jesus has the answers to all our deepest needs, and in a more profound sense, he is the answer. May we give thanks to the Lord and sing for joy as we heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. Amen.